back on May 12th, and we have a visitor. What we're doing, the daily Bible, the Bible in chronological order. So in 24, we're going to read it more. So he's been reading it. Yeah. And if you hadn't been reading it, it's not too late to start, right? And all the way back on May 12th, and I think we talked about this some in one of our Bible classes, we noticed what was happening to Solomon. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And you remember that Solomon made a request of God. In verse 5 here, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" That'd be an interesting thought, wouldn't it? God just speak to you one night and say, "Hey, what do you want? Ask and I'll give it to you." What would you ask for? But what did Solomon ask for?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Understanding heart.
A what? Understanding heart?
Understanding heart.
Okay. So what did he want to do with the wisdom and the understanding or discerning heart? What was he really asking help for? To lead God's people? Okay. Look at verse 9 here in 1 Kings 3. "Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this people of yours?" So what's he wanting? In this verse, what is he really wanting?
An understanding heart.
But there's some key words in this verse. What was he feeling so incapable of doing?
Judging God's people.
Judging. Yeah, right and wrong. Now, it's going to go on. We're going to have the story about the two prostitutes that both have babies and one died. And, you know, the one whose baby died switched babies. You know, whose baby is it really? What did Solomon tell them to do?
Cut the baby in half.
Cut the baby in half. He found out who the real mother was. So, is there true justice in any courtroom on the planet?
No.
Is there ever true justice? Well, yeah, sometimes, right? Sometimes. Huh? Yeah. And so sometimes the guilty are pronounced guilty and punished, and sometimes the guilty are pronounced innocent and get off, you know, through loopholes or whatever. So Solomon is faced with the task. He was the final say. I mean, he was the Supreme Court one person. He was the guy who decided what was right and what was wrong, what was good and what was evil. And he's a young man. And so he is requesting the wisdom, the discerning, the understanding to make those kind of decisions. And of course that pleased God. But God didn't just give him the understanding to do that. What else did he give him? Verse 12, he gave him a wise and understanding heart. But what else did he give him? Verse 13. Riches and honor. Riches and honor. And no matter what happened, he would have riches and honor, right? No conditions here. Just Solomon, from now on, you're going to be incredibly wise. And no matter what happens, you're going to have incredible wealth. Wealthiest man on the planet. And you're going to have power. There's no conditions. Is that what he's... Does God ever make a promise without conditions?
No.
So what's the first words in verse 14?
You
can walk in my way. Yeah. So, if... There's the condition. If you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, and then he reminds him of who his example was. As your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Well, the good news is David was perfect, right? No. In fact, who was Solomon's mother?
Bathsheba.
And so Sheba was taking a bath. Bathsheba. And so he had an older sibling that died due to their... or to Solomon forcing her into sexual relations with her. But then later she had another son, and his name was Solomon. You think Solomon knew the truth about what happened with his mom and his dad? You think he knew about the mistake they made and the lessons they learned? Do you ever think he heard David sing the song, Psalms 51? Ever heard him sing that song? That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Because when David wrote a psalm, it wasn't just a poem. It was a song. He sang it. You ever thought about that? So what was different about David? He wasn't perfect. What was different? What was the key about David? What made him... a worthy example for Solomon to follow.
His heart was devoted to God.
His heart was devoted to God. Not all the time.
No, but even at his worst, it was to God. He always committed sin and stuff.
He always was filled with godly sorrow, admitted his sin, and turned back to God. All of us relate to that, right? And so this was Solomon's example. And in fact, his dad was called a man after God's own heart. Look at verse 28. So Solomon makes this judgment between the two prostitutes, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. And sometimes people forget that the whole point, the whole crux of what Solomon wanted, I mean, what he really wanted was the wisdom to judge and guide his people justly, fairly, righteously, right? And when they realized that he had that gift, that miraculous gift of wisdom, they feared. What does that mean? What's the different ways you can fear somebody? Respect. A deep respect. Were they fearful that he would punish them if they did wrong? Yeah. Yeah, they knew that he would know what they had done, what was in their heart. And so there was that there too, but there was a deep respect because justice will be served. Now, in our reading this week, he's old. Turn to chapter 11. You don't have to go far. 1 Kings 11. Look at verse 1. But Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And guess what? It said, surely they'll turn away your hearts. And his wives turned away his hearts. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. What's the difference between David and Solomon? All came down to the heart, didn't it? This kind of jumped out at me that when Solomon was old. So when these women were first coming in, you have to wonder, and I'm just wondering, did he resist them bringing their gods?
Apparently not.
And not only did he allow them to bring their gods, he participated in the worship of those gods. And he built high places for the worship of those gods. And one of those gods was Chemosh. And Molech. They sacrificed their babies to them. Verse 8, and he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Look at verse 6. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, but did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. And so when David got older, was he spiritually stronger or weaker than when he was younger?
He was
stronger. Stronger, yeah. And Solomon gets old, is he spiritually stronger or weaker? Weaker. Weaker. He's a pagan worshiper. Unbelievable. And you have to wonder if those words ever echoed in his depraved brain. If you walk in my way to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father walked, then I will lengthen your days. Yeah, I agree. I mean, after all, he was the richest, most powerful king on the planet. Huh?
When he was just a kid, it's really.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is known about Bathsheba? Was she a Jew or was she a Gentile?
Who?
Bathsheba.
She was a Gentile. Oh, yeah. Bathsheba. I'm sorry. I was thinking about the Egyptian.
Uriah was a Gentile. Right.
Bathsheba
was, she was Jewish. She was a Gentile.
Right. But she was married to a Gentile, which was common. You know, that had become absolutely common. But look at verse 9 here in chapter 11. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel. And notice that word Lord is in caps, small caps even. That's because that's the covenant name of God. Jehovah God, Yahweh, who had appeared to him twice. So, have you ever done something that you knew you shouldn't have done, and your mom and daddy or your friend or your wife or your husband said, you should have known better? You ever had somebody say that to you? Well, if they haven't said it to you, probably somebody should at some point, right? Because we've all done things we should have known better, right? Huh? Yeah, the voice inside your head. Yeah, you say to yourself, I should have known better than that. I knew better than that. And so, who told Solomon, you should have known better than that?
Nobody.
Nobody. Why should Solomon have known better? That's a good question.
He certainly had wisdom.
Okay, God had given him miraculous wisdom to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. And so did he know that it was evil to worship the pagan gods? Of course. So why did he? That's a really good question.
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, Ecclesiastes.
He was burned out.
Yeah.
He was burned out.
So, I heard a guy, he told another guy, he said, every time you start talking, I get dumber. Yeah, he was very young. Right. But he was given the miraculous ability to see through the nonsense and know right from wrong in dealing with other people's lives. Yeah.
Didn't work for his own.
Why? Why did it not work for his own? What kept him from applying all of that wisdom to his own life? Huh? It was ego, but it was something else too.
Desire for women.
It, pretty girls.
Yeah. But his confession was none of it matters.
Yeah.
None of this matters.
And so it was a heart issue. It was a heart issue. We're all devoted to something. Right? Well, let me, something or someone or both. To whom are you devoted?
Hopefully to the Lord.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about on the planet. To what are you devoted? Come on now, this is easy. This is an easy answer.
Family.
Church members. No, we're not doing God. We're doing on the planet.
We're devoted to each other.
We're devoted to each other, right. And we see this all the time. You know, what's most important in our life at the top of the list, of course, is God. What's next? Is that true for everybody? No. Should it be? Yes. If you're married, what should be next? Your wife? If you're a husband? And a husband, if you're a wife? A spouse? Yeah. Huh?
When did he have time to lead his country?
When did he have time to lead his country? That's a good question.
Well, he had people from that.
Yeah. He had a lot of people under him. But the point is, his devotion was not to God. That's not where his heart was. His heart, his devotion was to 700 wives. Y'all know any teenage boys like that? That all they think about is girls? Yeah, like every one of them. Except you. You never did that. I mean, all of us understand that, right? When we were young and teenagers or in our 20s, you know, we all understand that. That's the way God created us. And so the question is, who's got our heart? Can more than one thing have our heart? Yeah. But something's going to be on top of the list. And so he had miraculous knowledge, miraculous wisdom to discern what should be on top of the list. But he didn't follow it. He didn't follow it.
But Ecclesiastes, that's what he was looking for.
Yes, we're going to get to Ecclesiastes. We're going to run out of time. But yes, that's exactly right. And we've been reading that this week. So he had his dad's example. We already talked about that. How important is it, how valuable is it to have a parent who leads you in godliness? Well, that's important. Is it absolutely a must, a necessity for you to be a faithful Christian? No. But it sure is a positive for your life. Was there anything else that would answer the question, why didn't you know better? You should have known better. Why did you not know better?
Wasn't that he didn't know better?
Huh?
Was it that he didn't know better?
Well, I'm just using that as an expression. Yeah. Yeah?
It's the depravity of the human heart.
David always asked for God's advice, and I guess Solomon never did.
Yeah, Solomon, there were points in his life where he inquired of God. So his dad, what about his mother? Son, I've learned a long, hard lesson in my life. And your older brother died because of what David and I did. Especially what David did in taking the life of her husband. And then you have the written word of God. I mean, David had the written word of God. And so should Solomon, David had it, so did Solomon. Solomon had the written word of God. Should he have known better? He, absolutely. Gail?
He also had
the priest. The priest, yes. He had the priest and the prophets who were reminding him and guiding him with direct revelation often, the prophets were. He should have known better. Yeah. Yeah.
In town or whatnot, right down the way from his palace.
Yeah.
Well, he seemed to have insulated himself. You know, through all of everything he had.
Dwight mentioned this a while ago, but you know what? All of this brings us to Ecclesiastes. We've read that book this week too. Now, Solomon talks about his view of life under the sun. Now, this is apart from God leading him. This is him trying to answer the most important questions in this life apart from God. Life under the sun. And according to this book, what wisdom, at the end of the book, what, after all this has been said, I know what the last verses say, but what did he learn to fully appreciate that he had forgotten? Excuse me? Yeah, and he's going to say that there at the end of the book, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The whole conclusion and all that's been heard is what? Fear God, keep His commandments. Where everybody's going to be judged.
So did Solomon repent?
So did, I don't know.
No.
Aren't y'all glad you're not the judge? Here's something that this really finally hit him like a runaway train. And that is everything he had and everything he could have, all the power, all the prosperity, all that he had did not mean a stinking thing when he compared it to eternity. Life on this earth, and this is what y'all are saying, life on this earth is meaningless apart from God and His promises. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Psalms, Proverbs. Yeah, it's in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes. Now, we know whose words these are. We don't know if Solomon wrote the words himself or a scribe wrote them. Doesn't matter, does it? The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. He kindly defines himself, doesn't he? And in verses 2 and 3, he's dealing with the ultimate question of life. And here's the question. What have you gained? I don't care what you've done or how much or how little. What have you gained? Look at this. Verse 2. Vanity of vanities. What do some of your other versions read there? Anything else? If something's vain, what does that mean?
It's
meaningless. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. I'd say he's kind of got a negative view of things, don't y'all? What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? In other words, what have you gained by all of your own work and toil and accomplishments and achievements? What have you gained? What have you really gained? In comparison to eternity, what have you gained? See, that's a whole different view now, right? Nothing. Nothing. Look at verse 4. And the question really here is, what makes you think something so special about your life above anyone else? I mean, that'd be a pertinent question for Solomon, right? Oh, look at me. Watch this. Verse 4. One generation passes away and another generation comes. This is the way I put this. Life goes on. No matter what happens to me, life goes on. One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. I mean, from his perspective, we know that there's going to be an end to the earth, but you see his point. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rose. The wind goes toward the south and turns to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. And the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea's not full, to the place from which the rivers come. There they return again. Now we studied this all in science in school, right? It evaporates, goes back, rains. So what's his point? What's his point here? Life goes on. Verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What's he talking about? We just work and work and work, and why do we work and work and work? Because we're never satisfied. Right? Isn't that what he's saying here? I want that. Hey, did you see that? I want that. Did you hear about this? I want that. Verse 9, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It's already been in ancient times before us. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after. And in all of this, Solomon's realizing, hey, dummy, what's so special about your life? Right? Look at chapter 6, verse 10. To sort of continue with this thought. Where basically he's saying, Go ahead. Take your best shot. Explain the meaning of life. Chapter 6, verse 10. Whatever one is, he's been named already. For it is known that he is man. and he cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. Since there are many things that increase vanity, how is man better? For who knows what is good for man in life? All the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? And so you go ahead, you explain all that to me. Explain all the life. What gives your life meaning? Well, this is pretty dark, isn't it? But in reality, well, it's pure reality. Apart from God, apart from eternity, just looking at life only under the sun. Look at chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Solomon says, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he'll not be able to find it. What did he inject here? God. And so the wise man of God is going to find meaning. Under the sun, it'll make no sense. So what was the fate of all the great philosophers of the past? You know how they died?
Killed themselves. A lot of them killed themselves.
Yeah. It was common for the great philosophers to take their own lives. Because they came to the point that Solomon's talking about here. They came to see that, hey, everything really doesn't mean anything under the sun. Under the sun. And what's amazing, you know, we've been looking at Solomon's life and as he grew old and so forth. When he really stopped to think about it, living apart from Jehovah God, here's where he was, right here. This was what it was. All of these riches and all, I mean, he goes on in the book of Ecclesiastes and just starts naming things that he tried to find meaning in, and all of it meant nothing in comparison to eternity. And so, we're about out of time. So, turn to chapter 12. Chapter 12. The last two verses of chapter 12. The last two verses of Ecclesiastes. Verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so the wisest man who had ever walked apart from Jesus lived like a fool, but still had the wisdom in the end to realize that, hey, here's what counts. Your relationship with God. That's when you stop living with only seeing what's under the sun. And you start living spiritually. Powerful, powerful stuff. I feel a sermon coming on. You know, good stuff. Let's pray. We're out of time. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we're thankful that we can learn from Solomon, even though, Father, he had serious heart disease. Father, we pray that we can be fully devoted to you and to Christ and live our lives, Father, not adoring the world or others in the world, but above all you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us the wisdom to do so and the courage to be true to what we know is right. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.